to my podcast series, Welcome to the Winner's Circle. I know it's been a while, but today I have a special guest. His name is Nick, and I met him some months ago back in September at Vegandale on Randall's Island here in New York City. And tonight we're going to just talk about his experience being vegan and his Velocator app that he has created. Go ahead, Nick, you can go ahead and introduce yourself or talk about yourself a little bit.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Well, first off, you know, Tamika, definitely thank you for having me on your show, you know, on the Winner's Circle podcast. I definitely, you know, appreciate that. So I'm Nick, also known as Eating Vegan with Nick. And, you know, what I've done is I've created a mobile app, but more than that is we've created a company, right, that's really embodied just the vegan experience. A lot of time, you know, with a lot of folks in our community, you know, when you talk about healthier eating or just even, you know, plant-based eating, it's like a phenomenon sometimes, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, what do you eat? Why are you eating this? Why did you move away from meat? And it's like this big shock where right. it shouldn't be this big shock, right? You know, we have a lot of the ways that we eat today come from, you know, our ancestors. And right. I feel as if just like anything else, just like technology that, you know, it evolves, our food should evolve as well too. What I've done is I've created Velocator, and what it allows you to do is it allows you to find any vegan restaurant in New York City. For right now, we plan on expanding mm-hmm. to other cities and, you know, states and countries, you know, later on. But right now you can find all the vegan restaurants all over New York City. And what we've actually done is with some of them, we've started to add discounts and coupons and rewards to also make the vegan experience a lot better for the everyday person.
Nice. Yeah, I have the Velocator app and I actually use it on my lunch break. I'm in Brooklyn, so I'm not too familiar with like Manhattan. Okay. Usually whenever I go to Manhattan, it's literally Midtown like everybody else and then back to Brooklyn. So I'm working in a part that's, I guess, close to Queens, like First Avenue. But, you know, it's an area I'm not familiar with, so I remember when I downloaded the Velocator app and I was like, let me check this out. I was like, I know, like, you know, I met him. We talked about it. I said, this is really cool because when I first became plant-based, that was my issue. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. go out to eat a lot with friends. I mean, mm-hmm. met up and hung out. But when it came to dining and foods and things, like, I would either eat beforehand, carry my own things. I didn't know where to eat, you know, mm-hmm. So that was always the issue. And because they weren't plant-based or vegan, they were kind of like, well, we don't know what to tell you. Like, you know, so I would just hop along and I would just get fries off the menu wherever we were, or like a mixed vegetable kind of dish,
the
you know,
struggle.
Right. So that was one of the things I kind of dealt with. But obviously, you know, and now too, like, I feel like veganism or being plant-based and just even health conscious about what people are eating these days is becoming more trendy. So now it's kind of like the information or the, I guess, awareness or these kind of restaurants are like popping up. But the Velocator app for me specifically, I was like, okay, this is great to have because I know wherever I'm at, I can pinpoint like, okay, mm-hmm. I can get something to eat here. I don't have to go to the same store and get the same thing because it's a safe option. Like I can kind of, you know, explore a little bit and see what else is in the neighborhood.
And that's what we're all about, right? You mm-hmm. know, we want to make this vegan experience as accessible as we possibly can to right. everybody. You know, when we first launched, we had some issues. You know, we found some bugs and we just kept, you know, speaking to our customers, right? To our right. users, to everybody, just to figure out how can we tailor this app to make it, you know, better and better. And we're still going through that process. But just to hear how someone, you know, if they're on their lunch break, they're able to use the app and they're able to connect to a specific location. That's so awesome. So I thank you and I appreciate you, you know, for downloading the app and actually using it.
Yeah, no problem. And it was so funny too. when I met you at Vegandale and I did the video with you, you asked me questions about, I think, why I became vegan or the difference between vegan and plant-based. And it was just like, oh, cool, they have an app. And I remember, I think you had told me at the time it wasn't launched yet. It was like, I think a week or two until the launch date. So me and my friend had got on the waiting list. And I was like, when it launches, I got to get it because this is a struggle for me. So, yeah, I would say I've had nothing but a good experience with the app when I use it. Like, it's user-friendly, easy to use. Like, some things, you know, I haven't run into any kind of, like, quirks or, like, little bug issues. But, yeah, it's great. I would recommend anyone to download it. And I think that's cool that you guys are working on, like, the rewards and the point system and things like that, because that's kind of, like, what people look for now when they spend money. Some kind of, like... some kind of reward, you know,
the feel good.
Right. So you want to talk a little bit about why you became vegan? Are you vegan or are you plant-based?
So I consider myself vegan and plant-based. The reason why is I'm on both spectrums, right? Okay. I understand that, you know, the plant-based side versus the vegan side is a lot healthier in terms of what you're actually putting into your body. Because if you're vegan, you know, you're going to eat things like, you know, maybe if you're at a diner, you'll eat Beyond or Impossible. Right. Where so if you're plant-based, you're not necessarily going to put particular ingredients into your body. It's more or less going to be whole foods, right?
Right.
So I get that. So I'm on both sides, right? Because, you know, if I go out, you know, for example, I was just traveling, and if I'm out, I'm gonna enjoy a burger. And I'm, for me, as long as I'm not eating an animal or putting any animal, you know, byproduct into my system, I'm good, right? So I'm on both sides.
I'm more plant-based. I actually, my plant-based journey started at the end of 2018.
Nice.
And I've been more plant-based since then.
Okay.
And very recently, I want to say within like the year.
Okay.
Year and a half in, I've from now have kind of tasted like quote unquote vegan. You know what I mean? But for majority of me, the beginning of my journey was just like strictly plant-based. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't raw or anything, like, you know, completely. Sometimes I would be, but I would say for the most part, it was just plant-based, whether it was cooked or raw.
Okay.
Do you feel like, what was your experience like with the transition from going vegan and plant-based from what you were used to growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in a Haitian household, you know, just around a lot of you know, meat eaters, just eating, you know, the typical, you know, kind of pork, you know, your fried foods and such. And for me, I just kind of began looking around and I started realizing, and I started kind of being in tune with myself, and I started realizing that something was slowing me down and I couldn't figure out what exactly it was, but I knew it was something that I was putting inside of my body. Mm-hmm. So originally how I kind of began my journey was I stopped eating red meat. So I stopped eating red meat. So we're in 2023. Let's say in 2017, right?
Yeah.
2016, 2017, right? So I stopped eating red meat top of the year, January. And I was like, you know what, let me do this for 6 months. And then 6 months came and I was like, wow, I didn't miss anything at all. I was like, oh, okay. I thought it was going to be a struggle. So after I did the first 6 months, I'm like, let me do a full year. So after I was doing the second lap of my 6 months for red meat, I began doing, like, you know, the first lap of my 6 months for chicken. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this not necessarily with ease, but I'm doing this and I feel better. I'm thinking clearer. I'm not missing anything. It's not necessarily a struggle. And it just made me feel in tune with myself. And then the final thing that I kind of cut was the dairy. The dairy was a bit difficult for me because I enjoy pizza. But once I learned how to properly substitute, you know, the cow and all of that, I never looked back. So I think for me, the toughest part was just the research, was just, you know, understanding the do's and don'ts, you know, what I should be putting into my body. Also supplements, right? You know, so just understanding, okay, you know what, if I'm thinking I'm going to be lacking some vitamin B or some vitamin C, let me get those pills, you know, let me take those supplements and let me kind of compensate for maybe what I may be missing on that side.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing for me. It started off as where I've always considered myself to be health conscious, but just like there was a time where I did Ramadan, and
Okay.
then a year later I was like, okay, like I survived Ramadan, like I'm not doing it again this year. But you know,
Let me
I
ask
was
you, let
oh yeah,
me
go ahead.
how was that? How, like, when you did Ramadan, I feel that's like another level of focus. And was that difficult for you on your first time?
It definitely was
Okay.
because, you know, the way I looked at it was like the time for eating was like flipped. It was
Okay.
opposite to what you typically do. And
Okay.
for myself, I love to snack and eat. I still do, even as being plant-based. So
Of
for me,
course.
that was like a big challenge. And I'm big on teas and things like that. So if I'm not eating, I've got tea, some kind of herb, like.
Okay.
And that was a thing that it was like, you know, during the day, you know, during the time you're fasting during the day, you couldn't have it. So for me, I would say honestly, like the first couple of days was a real challenge for me. I did it with someone, so I had like an accountability partner, which helped a lot.
Okay.
But then, you know, once you kind of get over that hump of that, like that mental aspect of it, and you have, I guess, that help, that accountability partner as well. You kind of just, I don't want to say get used to it, but you get used to it. And you kind of like, okay, this is like my new routine. And you know, they always say anything to create a new habit is going to take X amount of days. And so doing that for 30 days, as you got closer to the 30-day mark, it just kind of was like a habit in a sense. We're like, okay, I'm
Okay.
going to get up earlier before the sun and have something to eat and drink.
Okay.
When the sun sets, this is my time. So it just you're like you mentally adjusted, your body adjusted. I will say also too, like my first couple of days into it, I remember I went food shopping, and that was probably not the best thing to do because I spent so much money. I think I spent over like $200 on groceries. I was so hungry in that grocery store, and I was just like, oh my gosh. But at the time, I was not plant-based, but it was like I was health conscious. So it was like, okay, when it's time for me to break fast, I'm not going to be having pizza. I'm not going to have McDonald's. I'm not going to go out to eat. I'm going to have like cooked meals at home, more vegetables than anything else. You know, I would eat fish or chicken sometimes, you know, things like that. So it made me look at it through the lens of like, when I have the time to consume something and intake anything, it's got to be worthwhile and make sense for me to help me the best way. So I kind of kept that once, like, you know, Ramadan was done. And when I decided that I wanted to become, you know, plant-based, that kind of stuck with me. It was kind of like, okay, if I'm going to put anything into my body, it's got to be worthwhile that it benefits me. I
If
wasn't the type to eat out a lot anyway, but it was just kind of like, you know, more. Less buying out and really me being conscious of what I'm putting in my body. So that meant me really making all of my meals, paying attention to the snacks that I would buy.
Giving you that
Yeah.
discipline.
Right, that discipline. And then just actually, you know, expanding my knowledge of like different herbs and different fruits and vegetables that I may not have eaten on the regular before have now become a regular part of my diet. Figuring out like how to prepare certain things differently, or maybe making recipes I never would have thought to make previously, you know. So I feel like it expanded a lot of other in a lot of other areas too. So for me, and when I became plant-based, it kind of was like in steps, I would say. You know, I did the fast first, and then, you know, everything else kind of fell in line.
I think that that's the best way, you know, for somebody to truly experience the plant-based vegan journey. I think you know, I think to really do it in steps and to do it in phases, because to do it overnight, I think it's overkill, because there's just so much information out there where it's like you're gonna feel overwhelmed and you know, you may make a mistake and you don't want to be tough on yourself. So, you know, just really understanding what it is that you're putting into your body. And then this is a journey where eventually at some point it's gonna be an enlightening journey where you're like, yo, you know what, I put all this stuff into my body before. And this is how I was thinking, but now I feel as if I'm at a higher frequency, so I want to be able to put healthier options into my body, you know, because truly, you know, our bodies talk to us, right? And sometimes we don't always listen, but when we do listen, it's such a beautiful feeling, because like, you know what, I can treat myself in a particular way. I know if I eat this, I'm going to feel a little bit better. Or I know that, you know what, I'm not harming the universe, you know, by continuously putting these animal products that are slowly but surely killing us. And you know, I know that when we say that, you know, amongst our peers, to our loved ones and everybody, it doesn't necessarily register, because it's just like, oh, okay, you know, this person is talking, but these foods are definitely killing us. And you know, it's no different than any drug or any other disease that's out there. And I don't force. I'm not like, hey, you know, you have to be plant-based, you have to be vegan. I'm just like, dude, I'm just like, hey, like, check out all the benefits that come from, you know, this particular diet. Take a, you know, think about all the diseases that, you know, you're able to reduce. Prostate cancer for black men, that's such a huge thing, right? You know, heart disease, diabetes, being able to mitigate and reduce these, you know, significantly. Why wouldn't you want to, you know, put different things into your body?
Yeah, I was gonna say when I became plant-based, I think after like about 2 months, 3 months, I definitely felt like a difference in my energy, like my moods, my feeling, like just my absorption of just like focus, information. I really felt lighter in a sense. I don't know how else to describe it. I felt really lighter, not just like in weight, but like in kind of everything, like energy and like, yeah, it really just, it does make you feel a little different. And, you know, it's so funny because now when I go to the grocery store, I can't even walk by the meat aisle. It grosses me out. It smells bad. Like my whole senses have changed. Like my nose has changed to the smell. Like if somebody's cooking me any kind of meat, I'm like, oh my God, you know, like it's just so different. But it has been like such a great experience, and I've seen like the benefits in my own health because of it. And it's the same thing. Like I tell a lot of people about it, but I never force anyone or convert. I just kind of say, hey, you know. Just either I'm leading by example and you just watch, and then, you know, after a while people get curious and they ask you anyway. And so you just kind of give the information and let people just do at their own pace. And you know, I always tell people, like, even if you don't, you know, go plant-based and that kind of thing, as long as you're health conscious, I think is what should be the end goal.
I definitely agree with that.
And so, what are your thoughts now when it comes to being vegan and black? Because, you know, veganism now is like a trend. Everybody's vegan now, but I know it has had like a big pickup in the black community. Like, what are your thoughts about that?
To be honest with you, I love it. I think that if there's a particular group of people who need it the most, I think it's us, because a lot of the foods and you know, just separating veganism and kind of plant-based for a second, but a lot of the plant-specific foods and the whole foods, you know, do tend to have, you know, healing components, right? You know, and they'll make you compassionate. They'll make you think a little bit more. They'll make you be kinder and stuff like that. So I think for us, you know, I'm really loving the vegan wave, the black vegan wave. You know, when you go on Instagram or when you go online and you know you're able to see, you know, vegan content creators, or when you go to a vegan restaurant and you see somebody who looks exactly like you, I think that that's what it's all about. And I think that if we can all be on at least the same page and kind of just like introducing that information to the next
Right.
person so they can introduce it to the next person. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. It's so funny because for as long as I can remember, like back in the day, if you were vegan, it was almost like it was a white thing in a sense.
Yep,
But now
privilege.
it's kind of
We think it's for privileged folks.
right, it's for privileged people, and now it's flipped, which is great. But also too, like it's interesting to see our people kind of picking up this lifestyle, because when you think about it too, like our grandparents, they grew, most of them were on farms, you know what I mean? And so what were they eating? They were eating from the earth. They were planting and growing their own fruits and vegetables. I mean, obviously some of them had their own animals to have, you know, kill and have for dinner and things like that. But for the most part, a lot of their meals were coming from the earth. So to some degree, they were plant-based, they were vegan, or they were making like a lot of things from scratch that were health conscious with what was available to them. So I feel like too, in a sense, like this like veganism in our Black community, or being plant-based in our Black community, in a sense, it's kind of getting us back in touch with
Our roots.
right, our roots in a
So,
sense. And so yeah.
how I feel though, to be honest with you, just to dive a little deeper, I feel as if, you know, the vegan wave, the vegan movement didn't start being cool or popular or anything until we started putting our hands on it, just like
Oh,
anything else,
definitely.
right?
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, we for so long people always thought that it was for privileged people, right?
Right.
Until you started seeing more and more, you know, people who looked like us, you know, really kind of embodying that experience. And you know, whether it be plant-based or vegan, even if it's
Right.
just eating a Beyond Burger or whatever, being
Right.
like, you know what, this is pretty dope, this is pretty cool. And that just comes from us because we are the culture. And I think that
Right.
we need to understand that we don't need, you know, we don't need for somebody else to tell us what we can and cannot eat. You know, just, you know, wanting to eat healthy shouldn't, you know, for example, you know, maybe for some kids, if they're younger kids and they're talking about eating their vegetables, right? I'm
Right.
sure they're gonna get teased. I'm sure they're gonna get made fun of. And even adults, right? When some adults talk
Right.
about eating their vegetables, right? But like that should be cool. That should be the, oh wow, that's really cool that this person is eating, you know, mushrooms or eating broccoli or whatever it is that you like to enjoy, you know, that's plant-based. You should be able to enjoy that. And I feel as if that definitely, like, we haven't even started it, and it's definitely going to be a movement, and it's going to be a very powerful and strong movement. And
Yeah.
that's what we're here to embody, and that's what we're here to push.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. Yeah, and I think even talking about that too, like the accessibility portion of it and like the privilege kind of leads into like food deserts, because you would notice like in a lot of our neighborhoods, we won't have like a Whole Foods. We won't really have a Trader Joe's, or like I think Sprouts is another big one, or things like that. Or if we have these kind of places close to our neighborhoods, they're very expensive, which majority or a lot of us have a hard time affording on a regular basis. And so I think like that brings on the issue of like depending what neighborhood you're in, food deserts. And so if you're a predominantly Black neighborhood, you're not having those Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, organic
No.
stores and things like that. You've got like fast food restaurants on every block. You've got liquor stores, you've got Chinese food, fast food places, and you know, so it's a lot of different neighborhoods
How do
with
you
different
avoid the
baselines.
trap?
Right, exactly. And you kind of can't, unfortunately. So I think when we have this Black vegan movement that we have in our community, and we are popping up like these juice shops and these vegan shops, and you know, whether it's fast food like Slutty Vegan or some other kind of fast food vegan place, or vegan wraps and things like that, I think it's giving us options, you know. And I think that's what people need, are the options. And I think when people feel like they have that freedom of choice and the freedom of option, they're gonna go to what the people least expect them to go to. So that for me is like, you know, for me looking at like veganism in the Black community, It definitely is connected to food deserts, depending where you are, the accessibility, the affordability.
I just want to add on top of that, you know, it's true. It's true. Everything that you're saying. Right. And fortunately, on the other side of that is, you know, with having access, even with, you know, maybe limited resources, if you're able to get your hands on beans, you know, you can turn beans into, you know, black beans into a black bean burger. Because now that we do have the resource out there, there are so many recipes online that you can do with under $10. And that's why, like, you know, creating this company is so important to me, because even those folks who do have limited resources, there are still some sort of option out there for, you know, for you to experience, you know, the other side, to experience a plant-based dish. It's true, you know, the food deserts, the lack of resources, all of these contribute, and these affect our communities the most. And so if we can figure out, you know, with limited resources, without having access to Whole Foods, how can we make dishes that are going to feed our families without eating animals? Because, you know, sometimes meat can be cheap and it comes in bulk and that's what they want you to eat. But that's not really productive to our communities. You know, the next generation, you know, doesn't need to be drinking dairy, you know, and everything like that, because they're doing studies on it and they're starting to realize what's the impact that a lot of these foods are having, you know, on us, on our brains.
Right. Yeah. After, you know, long-term, what are the long-term effects of a lot of these things? And even still too, when you think about food these days, whether plant-based, vegan or not, when you think about the quality of food present versus the quality of food from like the 70s, maybe the 60s, you know, it's not the same at all.
At all. They're putting so much crap into the food.
Yeah. So it's also that conversation too of like, you know, these long-term effects of these new kinds of foods that they're having, even things that they put in the soil for the farming. Like, it's such a chain, but I do feel like the accessibility and affordability is big. I know when I became plant-based, that was a big thing for me, was, you know, the affordability piece of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's not that expensive. If you're buying, like, you know, if you're not buying vegan, like the vegan mock meats and things like that, it's affordable because you're just buying plants, you know, vegetables and fruits, which was somewhat true, yes and no. But even still, when you're buying only fruits and vegetables, like I was, because I was plant-based, or like nuts and seeds and things like that, it does add up. And the crazy thing is, these things are plants, but they spoil. So you can get
have to good get them fresh.
Right. So that's the expense factor, is like, you know, you're constantly replenishing. You might stick something in the freezer, use it for a smoothie a week later. You know, you can try to save and extend the life as long as you can try to. But at the end of the day, it's a plant. So it does become no good because it is picked off of something.
That is very true. That's a good point. I know for me, I've tried to, you know, keep a few things in the fridge longer than
and then, you trying know, to they, preserve it.
It's true. You know, you can have something in the fridge for 3 days and then it's like, oh man, I should have made this, you know, day one. So that's a really good point.
Tell me about it. When I make lime water, pitchers of lime water, and if I don't finish like a lime and I like leave just say if I slice lime in half and leave the other half, in 2 days, you know how it looks dry, like around the edge? It's like, all right, I got to use this before like it goes
ASAP.
I would hate to just throw that whole thing away. So yeah, that was one of the things I experienced, was just like, okay, the food accessibility, like where am I going to get my stuff from, and my variety of fruits and vegetables, so it's not just the same thing over and over again. But also the affordability piece, like, okay, I need to go somewhere that's got variety and good quality, and also like what I can afford. So that, like, for me, on when I became plant-based, those were the biggest things for me. But as I was, you know, doing it more and more, I kind of learned how to like tweak my budget and kind of learn like, okay, these are the fruits and vegetables I can stretch. These are the ones I absolutely cannot stretch. Once I cut this piece of fruit, I've got to have it the next day or it's just going to go bad. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I made the mistake with some watermelon recently. I think I had some watermelon. I bought it on a Sunday. I made some juice with it, but like I had a lot more pieces. And I think after like the second or third day or something like that, I opened them up and I smelled them and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta toss these.
Yeah, so you know, those like, and that's the thing though too, I think people should realize, like, if they're interested or even considering of like doing this kind of plant-based or vegan thing, that it's like trial and error, you know. Everybody figures out like their plateau and like what works for them, and it's like a trial and error in all those kind of areas, and it's a learning experience too.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so when it comes to your app, you know, we talked a little bit about like why you decided to create the V-Locator app and the mission of the app, but what was your experience when building the app? Like when it comes to the logistics and technicalities, like?
So for me, I can tell you the entire story till up until now. So for me, I come from a tech background. I graduated from Penn State, and my major was in tech, and just understanding kind of like, you know, just the software and the technologies and everything, I knew what I was capable of, and I knew that I was not capable at that moment of writing the code for the app. So I went online and I went, you know, just looking for a freelancer. So I found a freelancer from India, and you know, I basically told him the idea of what this, you know, what I was trying to build, and we got it. We were working on it for about a year and a half, and we got it to a point where I was like, oh, okay, cool. And this was my first time ever doing anything like this. This was years ago, by the way. And I was like, okay, cool. Then I realized, I was like, I need to go back to the drawing board. So I had spent a decent amount of money just kind of like, you know, trial and error, like we said before. So I spent a decent amount of money, and you know, he wrote the code. It took about maybe just that process of writing code, and we never got it to a point where it was stabilized. But you know, it took about maybe 15 months for us to get it to where, you know, a user can at least, you know, search for a restaurant, but it just, the UI, the UX, it was real buggy. The letters were squishy. And then it just started turning into a money pit. So I basically, I said, you know what, let me start this from scratch. And this was just me by myself, just working on an idea that I had. One of my really good friends who I went to Penn State with, I was telling him about my idea, and I was like, hey, you know, I know you've worked with a startup before. What do you think about, you know, coming on board? So my boy Sam was like, all right, cool, I'll come on board. You know, after I kind of had to, you know, fight with him a little bit and be like, yo, man, you know, come on board, man, come on board. He came on board. And then so we were introduced through a mutual friend to actually a Black developer. Nice. So we told, you know, we told him what our idea was and everything like that. And, you know, we probably started going back and forth on ideas and building a relationship for about a year before any code or anything was developed. You know, I really wanted to get to know the person who was going to be handling the second iteration of what this mobile app was going to be. So we were working on it, we were testing it, and you know, obviously there were bugs, there were different things that you know, Sam jumped on board and we decided to work with our, you know, our newfound Black developer. And, you know, it took some time, but we felt confident enough over the next, you know, 2 years as we were building and developing and testing it out and speaking to, you know, customers and, you know, potential users and going to Vegandale, you know, a right. few years ago as not even as a vendor, just as, you know, a consumer. And then right. going the following year as a vendor, the first year after the pandemic. So, you know, it's really taken, you know, when people ask me how long have I been working on VLocator, you know, VLocator has been, you know, it's taken about 5 years so far. It's consumed a lot of great time. It's mm-hmm. it's put me in a lot of, you know, great positions and being able to speak with a lot of great people, the vegan community, the people who are looking to be vegan, the people who aspire to one day have the courage to go vegan. Because right. some people will tell you straight up that they don't have the courage to even do that.
Right.
But the logistics behind it, I mean, I had to put myself through product management school so that I can better, you know, build this app from a product management standpoint. I come from, you know, a project management background, just being able to utilize my skills and build that team. And then also on the business side now, you know, we always felt as if we were missing, you know, a key person to just help us drive the business. And, you know, it's something that we're still, you know, working on and figuring out still to this day. But we added another person to the team, a Black entrepreneur, Sean. And when he was able to come to the team, he saw a lot of the flaws and holes and gaps that we had just in our business, that he was able to guide us and kind of coach us through. Right. And now that we've, when we first launched in October, so the cool part about it is because we're building an app, and I come from a background of, you know, working on, you know, products and working on apps also. The cool part of building an app is I understand that there's going to be iterations and there's going to be, you know, new releases and new versions. Right. So when we first launched in October, we had a feature where users would have to manually enter in their current location. Right. And, you know, obviously that's not ideal. We want it to be automated. You know, we spoke with end users, and some of the end users were like, you know, it's no big deal to us. And some other end users were frustrated. So about 3 weeks ago, we pushed a new release to the App Store to where users actually don't even need to do that. Wherever you are in New York City or even in the world, it'll automatically pick up your location.
Okay.
And so we have, you know, we have so many features that are going to be rolled out soon to really create that that enjoyable vegan experience. Because one thing that we've realized is, especially because everybody has a mobile app, you know, I mean, a mobile phone like
right.
us, we're able to have this conversation, you know, using some sort of software, right? So
right.
being able to have your phone is kind of almost like empowering. So being able to have a phone that can help you kind of, you know, transition and help you find vegan restaurants, you know, with just a click of a few buttons right. is so vital to our community. Because what we've done is we've cut down about 90 to 95% of the research, you know, that people, you know, sometimes get stuck doing or people mm-hmm. don't just want to do. So right. VLocator is truly here to, and, you know, to really help our people, our community, you know, figure out, okay, here's the difference between this and that. Here's maybe what you can be eating, or, you know, suggesting these restaurants. You've seen the community spotlights that we started doing. We just did one with Greedy Kitchen.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing events. You know, we're going to be tapping into a lot of, you know, working with our community. We plan on doing yoga events. We plan on doing giveaways. We plan on truly working with our community so that, you know, instead of really complaining about change, why isn't this accessible?
Right.
We're working towards, you know, making that change and making that change happen.
Solutions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That sounds great. I've noticed that too. Yeah. You do the, you'll go around at different vegan places in New York City, no matter what borough it is. I think even like Long Island. And then I did see the feature you guys did for that Greedy Vegan in Bed-Stuy.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't frequent, like, I don't always go to Bed-Stuy. So, like, there's certain parts of Brooklyn that I don't go to all the time. So,
mm-hmm.
I know there's a vegan restaurant somewhere in Bed-Stuy, but I don't go enough to look for it. But now I'm like, oh, that looks good. Like, it's Black owned. Mm-hmm. Like, well, yep. I'm going to make it a point that I'm going to go to Bed-Stuy and just check it out one day.
You have to. And it's crazy because, you know, the cool part about it is for particular restaurants, you go to that restaurant, and if you do have the VLocator app downloaded now, what we'll be doing is, like I mentioned earlier, we'll be adding more, you know, working with these restaurants, adding more coupons and discounts. So you go in and you'll be able to enjoy 10, 15, 20% off your meal just because you have the app, just because you're a part of this community. So, you know, just giving our people more incentive to want to enjoy this vegan experience. Right. Because at the end of the day, it's an experience. You mentioned earlier, you know, you were able to do, you know, as you started becoming, you know, a lot more healthy, conscious and, you know, what you were putting into your body, maybe you began cooking more, maybe you began doing something more. And I think that that's what this is all about, you know, reading the back of the boxes and being like, even though it says vegan or vegetarian, I see that there's milk here, so nah, I'm good on that.
And I've definitely seen that.
You know, we've all gone through that, you know, gone through it. So it's just like, you know, it's really, when I look back at it, my journey from how I first started, you know, buying the Morningstar patties and not knowing, you know, really what it truly meant to be vegan. And even those people who are starting in their journey, I there's no pressure. It's okay if you slip up. It is what it is. Just make sure that, you know, you continue to do the research and you continue to enjoy it, because once you don't enjoy something, it becomes too much of a chore and it's no longer fulfilling. So, you know, just continue to make sure that you want this experience to be fulfilling and it's fun.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. Like, because I know these kind of things can get like tedious, it can be tiring, but also just knowing, like, as long as you keep the joy in it, like if it starts to feel like a chore, then it's like you're going to take all the fun out of it. You're not going to want to do it. But I feel like when you keep it fun, when you keep the energy good around it, when you keep it light, like, you know, you keep your own interest in it, your own creativity, your own curiosity in it, and you want to work on it. You want to build it. So I think that's important. But yeah, that sounds great for the app. I'm loving that rewards thing or like the discount. I can see a lot of people that be an incentive when it comes to the affordability factor of people who are interested in this, you know, whether they want to make this a dietary switch or they're doing it for a certain amount of time or whatever, and they're worried about, like, can I afford this, you know? Like, I think that's awesome because that's a big part of it. Okay, and so what kind of advice would you give to someone who wants to build an app, whether it's, you know, any kind of app in general? Like, what should they look forward to when it comes to that?
Okay. That's a really good question. So I would say this, do your research. I think for me, my personality just, I do things backwards sometimes. So like sometimes I have a feeling and I'm just like, oh, I got to do this right now. I got to dedicate 100% of my time to this. Like, I just feel so tied to it. So if I had to do, you know, if I had to do things differently, this is what I would do. And that would be my advice to somebody who's looking to build an app. Just do a lot of research, you know, go to YouTube Academy, look up, you know, how much it costs to build an app. See if you can learn how to develop and code some of, you know, some of it yourself to save money. But truly, you know, try and be as organized as possible. There are so many different freelance platforms like Upwork and Fiverr where you can find developers and developers at a good price. But I think before doing that, setting a budget, first and foremost, setting a budget. Mm-hmm. You know, managing this project and understanding what it's going to take for this project, right? Right. So developing an app is not just developing an app, right? You have your UX, you have your designer, you know, and you have to make sure that when you're working with your designer that you're building out the vision that you have in mind so that when your developer is coding it, he's coding it tailored to what you and your UX designer have come up with. And just, you know, understanding that there are a bunch of developmental phases, you know, and this is not to say that, hey, you have to do it this way. Because right. You want to know something, there are people who figure things out and learn as you go. But I do think it makes it easier if you have a budget in mind, if you can learn and just understand the technologies, right? Understand the language, even if it's just at a very, very basic level, because you want to be able to understand and speak to your developer. And whatever your developer is telling you, you have to then translate in plain English to whoever it is that you're speaking to so that they can understand and comprehend what it is that you're truly building. So I would just say, you know, budget, understand the technology, understand the language, speak to people, you know, and if you can't speak to people who've already developed an app, YouTube is a really, really, really good resource. Google is a really, really, really good resource. And, you know, like if anybody is listening to this conversation and they have any questions about building an app, you can definitely reach out to me, you know, hit me on Instagram, Eating Vegan with Nick. And I'm definitely all ears and, you know, whatever I can do to give some sort of information to that next person, I'm definitely down to do, because I didn't have anybody able to give me some of that information when I was starting out. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds good. we talked about kind of everything that I wanted to cover, especially that participation in local community events, or like being in the, like actually participating in the community.
Absolutely.
In some
way. Absolutely.
That's important. Sometimes I feel like a lot of, not just vegan or plant-based, but just any kind of business in general or entrepreneurs in general, sometimes I do feel like, you know, they'll gain a success or a certain level of success, and they'll kind of go outside their community to a little more, or they won't.
You know, really just dialing in with our people and just understanding our people and truly what we come from, right? You know, the food traumas that we've suffered, and be able to take that same story and just being able to, you know, potentially try and change the narrative just through food, you know, truly trying to heal one person and, you know, each community at a time, you know, through one dish at a time, with one dish at a time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then that's such a good point, too, that that food as a like the connecting piece for the community, because it can bring many, many people together. Mm-hmm, you know, absolutely. Food is always something that brings people together. That's why in the holidays, everybody has a big dinner, a big meal, and everybody sits together. And like, you know, it's always like that social point, but it's that community point, that familiar point, and also like that healing point, because of what you're putting into your body and the kind of things that you say and do when you're having a good meal with people that you love or people that you want to be around.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I completely agree. I like that community involvement. So do you have anything else that you want to add, any upcoming events that you have coming up?
So what I will say is, you know, stay tuned. We'll be announcing, we're finalizing and figuring out some of the dates. Mm-hmm. We do plan on doing, an event, at, you know, Urban Vegan Roots, coming soon. So we're just finalizing the date there. You know, continue, you know, people who have been supporting us, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's downloaded the app, who shared the app, who's posted the app. You know, we're working, you know, for the community. We are, you know, we are working to continue to add more restaurants to our coupon database. Nice. So that, you know, we can truly, truly, truly allow people to have this wonderful experience. We plan on launching on Android very, very soon. And yeah, you know, continue to rock out with us. We're doing something special. We plan on, you know, hosting different events this summer, hosting yoga events so that we can truly tap in and you know, and be one, you know, I'm trying to think what else that we have going on. Hopefully, you know, this year we'll be at Vegan Dale as well again. And it's this is gonna be fun. This is truly gonna be fun. So once again, thank you to the people who have downloaded our mobile app. And if you have it, please do, you know, please provide any feedback that you can. You know, we have our Instagram, VLocator. Our website is VLocator.io. My Instagram is Eating Vegan with Nick on Instagram. And, you know, feel free to reach out to me, DM me. I'm all about connecting. And yeah, you know, Tamika, I truly appreciate, you know, this conversation. You're awesome, and
Thank you.
I hope to see you at our events. You know, and I hope that we can continue to build.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about anything you have coming up. Because I do see like everyone just kind of tapping into this. This is such a great resource, and you know, it's good for out of towners, people who are, you know, traveling and that kind of thing. Because I experience that too. Like when I travel, I'm always like, what can I eat? You know, so I think, you know, I know you said right now it's just for New York, but like for people coming to New York who are from out of town and they don't know what vegan spots to go to, like this is a great app to have. And then even when you expand VLocator to be in other cities and states, when people do travel, they can bring this resource with them, you know.
Absolutely.
So I see like there's it's like endless possibilities, honestly, for the app for something like this. I see a lot of different things, recipes. I mean, so many different things you can put on this. But yes, thank you so much for being on the episode and talking about the VLocator app and just your experience. And I liked how we tapped into like the personal experience of being plant-based and vegan to almost like the business side of it, the entrepreneurship behind it, and
Absolutely.
but how it all kind of interconnects and like, you know, layers into like just your being really, but you're an individual, but how that affects like your community as a whole.
Yeah, and you know, for those, you know, who are tapping in, once you are on the app, you know, we have our guest account. You know, we also have our profile account where you can create a profile, tap in with the community on our community hub. You know, we are truly people of the community, and we're going to continue to work tirelessly to make sure that, you know, our people have the resources they need to just live a more sustainable lifestyle.
Right. So everyone, thank you for tuning in. I hope you got something from Nick and talking about his experiences. And until next time, peace and blessings. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.